Why wouldn't we be good if I was doing video?
Because I have a massive microphone in the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so do I. But no, I'm not recording video. No, just audio.
Cool. And my lighting isn't amazing, so I just wanted to check.
Well, it's better than mine. Although, I just realized the shade is half closed, but you can still see me, so it's fine.
We're in dungeons.
Yeah. Well, you look...
I'm going to drink this.
What is that, a beer or a Monster Energy drink?
That's
or?
Exactly why. It's sparkling water, but it looks like beer, so I didn't want to confuse anybody.
Uh-huh. You look like you're recording in Buffalo Bill's basement, right? You look like he is lowering the lotion down to you in the basket right now. And that's what's happening, because that brick background behind you, or it's like where you would record like a proof of life, like if you kidnap someone and you don't want anyone to be able to figure out where you are, and they're holding up a newspaper with today's date on it. That's the creepy background.
I love it.
Right now. That's not a virtual background. That's like you live in a dungeon, or what is happening?
No. I've been told speakeasy too. It looks really cool with my other camera. It looks like a cool, pretty brick background. The problem is with the Mac camera is I look like I'm about to ask for somebody.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again. Right? That.
Exactly. I don't think, can I do a virtual background on this?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay, I think that's only in more than in other stuff. You know, I mentioned in my podcast this week that I'm watching the Jeffrey Dahmer show.
Oh, speaking are you of watching serial that? Killers,
are you watching it?
No, I don't have time.
I'm only halfway through it. Dahmer's a good one. He was like the really best genre of serial killers, because he was also like having sex with the dead bodies. He was eating their organs. He was preserving them in formaldehyde. I mean, he was really going for it. That was a good one. But there
what
are others. Like I realized
living?
Last.
Like,
what did he do for a living?
Does anybody know that part? Okay.
Yeah. So the show really explores it quite a bit. He did some odd jobs here and there. He was in the army, got thrown out of the army for drinking too much, but also was drugging the other soldiers. Like that was his shtick, was he would roofie people, and then when they were passed out, he would either have sex with them or kill them, or some combination of the two. So he was roofieing soldiers and then having sex with their passed out bodies in the army. He got kicked out of the army for drinking too much, and then had a bunch of odd jobs. I mean, he got arrested a couple times for like smaller stuff, and not small, but smaller, like molesting a kid. And it's very clear there were a lot of institutional failures here.
Yeah.
The judge was like, "You seem like a nice man, and I'm going to let you out early." And I mean, just crazy, crazy stuff. But there's still, I feel like even with this renaissance of TV shows about serial killers, there's still a lot more that we could be exploring. We haven't gotten one about Ed Gein that I know of. There was a Ted Bundy show, right? People really liked that one, but we need more serial killer content.
More quality content in the world. Uplifting.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder... So one of the questions, I'll put this one to you. Tell me your theory. One of the very distasteful questions that I asked this week was, I have a theory that a lot of serial killers had a very sexualized nature to their violence, and we don't have serial killers anymore, both because you get caught quickly, right? Yeah, there's surveillance and DNA and stuff, you get caught. And two, like those who would become serial killers become mass murderers. But also that the wider availability of pornography makes it so that there is some other outlet for whatever fetish these fellas are into. And so the distasteful question I raised was, if you made child sex abuse material more available to people who had the urge to molest children, would you somehow reduce the actual harm to children that was occurring because there was an alternative outlet for these folks?
Interesting. I had never thought of that.
So what do you think?
It could go either way. I think one, for certain people like the Josh Duggars of the world, it would spare children. I mean, I don't know if he ever did anything to his kids or not, but I'm assuming he was able to hide a lot of those problems from his wife, et cetera, by the fact that he was accessing like child pornography through his work computer or whatever. So I think in that case, yes. I think in other cases of people who haven't been exposed to child pornography that then are, it could turn on them being intrigued by certain things that otherwise wouldn't have. So I think there's two camps.
What if they have to like register for it? What if there's some arduous process and you have to register?
You have to work for it, yeah.
Like, yeah, you have to like raise a flag that says like, I'm a molester, but I want this. I don't know.
We know.
I mean, it's a horribly distasteful concept to think about. But I kind of wonder if there's something to it. That, by the way, that's this podcast is now entirely focused on child sex abuse.
Are we official yet?
Yeah, this entire podcast. So thanks for joining. I'm so excited that you're here. We're here to talk about child porn. That's
great.
This is the child pornography podcast now. So
can't wait to reshare to my audience.
It's an incredible audience of people who join to talk about that topic every week now. So yeah, so thanks for joining. We also cover some other really interesting stuff about race and IQ and making sure that, you know, understanding like the connection between Jews and the shapes of their skulls and like just important topics.
Love it.
So it's been a while since you've been here on the show. What's new? Tell me everything. What's new? You were in Hawaii. What was that like?
Yeah, I've been jumping over a lot of walls, climbing a lot of monkey bars, you know, the use. It's been heavy race season. So yeah, I've been all over the world, specifically Hawaii being the most epic, doing obstacle course racing. So that one, I literally went through Jurassic Park. I went through Jumanji, went through King Kong Skull Island. They leave all these sets at this Kalua Ranch up all the time because they're doing tours and stuff. Well, we got to race right through it. So I was dead last in my age group for the longest race because I was so slow, because six times or so I went off of course to get, you know, epic photos.
Do you bring your phone with you while you're in the middle of the race?
That one I did. Yes. I don't typically, but this was one of three races, so I knew I could try harder the next races. And so for the first one, I was like, yeah, I'm absolutely bringing my phone. And I had a photographer for portions of it following me.
Well, that's fun.
It is fun.
Like, you hired someone to do the race as fast as you with a camera.
You can call it hiring. it was a guy I was seeing that followed me for like the first 2 miles. Oh,
so you were like trading like sex for photographs. I love that.
There was an arrangement.
That's great. That's great. Sure. I feel like that's probably half of OnlyFans is
that
doing
is
that.
True.
That's great. Funny. I once went skiing with my brothers, and we hired a photographer to like actually follow us around on the mountain all day, and he took amazing photos of us. But then somehow we like forgot to buy them from him. I felt really bad that he like an entire day taking pictures, and they were really good. And then I was like, cool, let's order some. And then we just like forgot to do it. And I think we were in France and then flew home. And then I was like, oh God, how do I get in touch with him? I don't know. This was like 20 years ago. There were no cell phones or something. It was just so the whole thing.
And you never got the pictures either.
I never got the pictures. I had like one contact proof sheet that just had, you know, like 20 little small ones that I wanted, and I didn't have them. They were great pictures. It's a bummer. Yeah, there's something nice about having a pro photographer to follow you around while you do something recreational.
Oh, everybody on the course like thought I was a Spartan pro. But the unfortunate thing is, yeah, the relationship didn't develop. So I only got about 50% of the pictures.
Like, he was airdropping them to you, and like halfway through, you broke up with him? Or what are we talking about here?
So for the first leg of the vacation, he was like all about, like, you know, trying to win me over type situation. And so it was always like, get the pictures, edit the pictures, share the pictures. It was like on top of it, like trying to be helpful. I was like, here we go. Well, it started definitely going sideways about midway through the vacation. And next thing you know, he's not staying on top of pictures. He's not editing pictures. And it's like, I'll get him to you later. Yeah, I was very annoyed. And then
you couldn't just like tough it out and put on a smile for like an extra week just to get the pictures. It was that bad.
It was not worth it. I was done.
It was that bad. Yeah. That you couldn't do it.
I was done. So then I was like, well, I would think, like, you know, we had this agreement around a bunch of different things. Like, I'll get my pictures at the end of the trip. Like, he'll still hold up his end of the deal type thing. Oh, no, I'm never going to see those pictures. So have fun. Enjoy the pictures, buddy.
Wow. I'm sure he is right now. You know, it'd be amazing while you're doing the race and you have the guy there with you, like, boss him around and really act like you are his supervisor, and he's true, like, get down on the ground, like, get this angle, like, really bossing him around, posing. I guarantee you everyone else at the starting line would be looking at you like, who the fuck is this girl? What is happening here? That would be a great scene to stage, just to mess with the other people in the race by acting like a total diva about it. I think that could be fun.
Oh, I can take it up a notch next time.
Did you just meet this guy in Hawaii and he had a camera and you were like, hey, follow me? No. Or like you brought him to Hawaii with you?
Oh, yeah. We planned the trip together. So I had higher expectations for it going well, to be completely honest.
Right. So the photography was just one piece of it.
Correct.
Do we hope he's listening to this now?
Oh, and that he'll feel shamed. He's listening.
And we hope he'll be shamed into actually sending the remainder of the photographs.
That would be great. Yeah, it just makes me realize, like, I don't know, as much as men want to say one thing and like, what's the word? Try to make a relationship win-win. When it comes down to it, it's a lot of times just telling you what you want to hear.
So you think he was like trying to get over on you by just feeding you sweet nothings, or what are we talking about here? Or you thought?
I think it was a massive sales pitch that he couldn't deliver on, and when I realized he couldn't deliver on it, is when it started falling apart.
This sounds so intriguing.
Oh, it was.
What is the sales pitch? Sorry, you just opened this door here. What is the sales pitch that you got? Like, what was he selling?
Oh, the sales pitch was that he could be everything I ever needed and the man of my dreams and, like, yeah, meet my every need and wait on me hand and foot and be my chauffeur was the word he used. All these things that he was going to make it the best vacation of my life. And then he did not. And then when he sensed any kind of disappointment is when he stopped even trying. And I didn't feel like my expectations were that high.
You brought your own Uber driver to Hawaii. Your own Annie Leibovitz, your own Uber driver. And then you were disappointed that he didn't just want to drive you around and take your picture.
No. Because he did that. He was disappointed that I didn't want to fall in love with him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so. I like that you had this pre-negotiated sense of what each side should expect from the relationship. I like that you had that worked out in advance.
Absolutely.
Have you ever had, I mean, that it's not quite commercial, right? Like he's not paying you. Correct. What's the most commercial quid pro quo kind of relationship you've ever had?
So it was accidental. It wasn't an arrangement, which is why arrangements became a thing. I don't know how public I could share a lot of this stuff.
Sure you can.
Well, sometimes you fall into connections with people that are wealthy or like to act wealthy. And I don't care if you actually are or not, to be completely honest. I'm just like, okay, let's just enjoy life and enjoy experiences. So there's this one person that, whether or not he was actually wealthy, I don't know, but he liked to appear wealthy. And it was just a fun friendship that turned into a little bit of a relationship for a while, where every single time he came to pick me up, it was a different, like, ridiculous over the top car, you know, convertible Mustang, Tesla, Aston Martin. Like, it was just ridiculous. So he would just like rent these ridiculous cars. And it was like this fun game. Every time I show up to Rebecca's house, brand new car. Like, okay, cool. So that was fun. I was like, sure, whatever. I'm not obviously agreeing to these dates because the car you're going to pick me up is going to be epic, but like, it's gravy. Well, this individual got really sick once. And since we were kind of in a relationship, like, I decided to care for him. And I don't think many people had done that in the past. I think it was more of an arrangement or whatever. And so I did that like willingly, freely, took care of him for the weekend or whatever. And literally, as I got home from the weekend and was like putting my life back together, laundry, whatever, I get this random Venmo from him that says, please go buy yourself clothes and shoes and whatever you want.
Wow.
And it was a decent chunk of money. And one, I don't know how he found me on Venmo. And two, like, that's not why I took care of him all weekend. But like, here I had a direct.
How much are we talking about? Are we talking about 1,000, 10,000? Give me a number.
Less than 1,000, but it was a handful of hundreds. It's between 500 and 1,000.
Okay, so you got like, call it $700 to wait on a guy as his Florence Nightingale.
As a thank you, but after the fact, and it was just so random. It then was like, are we in a relationship or like what?
But
just
did he
happen?
Think you were a hooker or like what?
No, and that's the thing.
Because wasn't like he was paying you to be his like live-in nursing aide. Right?
Exactly.
How sick was he? What are we talking about here?
Sick like enough he had, that he I, had the I didn't cold, have to or... put out.
Oh, okay. So he paid you to be his live-in nurse. That's not so.
It was interesting.
Bad. Yeah.
No, it's not bad. It was sad because it made me realize how like lonely and how few people he had.
How old was
you
this
know what
guy?
I mean? Older.
Like 80? What are we talking about?
No, here? He's early 50s.
Early 50s. That's not so. I mean, that's like postmenopausal, I guess.
Yeah. It was interesting. It was like, I don't know.
Early 50s.
It told me a lot about him. And it was like, I don't know that he knows how to have a healthy relationship.
I mean, does anyone?
True. Yeah. But I was just like, okay, cool. I'll go buy myself stuff. And then, yeah, it was interesting.
What'd you buy?
Oh God, I don't even remember now.
Like, did you blow it all in one place?
I think I
pair of shoes or something.
Clothes. I'm too thrifty to spend that much on one pair of shoes, but I think I went to the mall and got some outfits. I don't think he benefited from any of them, but it was just interesting. That one was not arranged. It was just like for somebody to think of like you taking care of me needing to be rewarded financially was just like a very interesting experience. So,
I mean, they have these websites like Seeking Arrangement or something. I don't even know if that still exists. I've just heard of the name. But that,
Miss Travel.
That's what it's called, Miss Travel?
The big one, in case you're wondering.
Like M-I-S-S Travel?
Yeah, and I know about it because a girlfriend of mine actually did a piece for them years ago. Like
number
she went
one
on
travel
a-
dating and travel companion site. How it works, join, connect, travel. Connect with other travel lovers. Meet real people. What does that mean? What are fake people? Travel date with confidence. 680,000 plus travel companions, 77 million miles traveled, 201,000 trips created. Well, that's fun.
Yeah, so this friend of mine, she went on a sample trip for them and like had to write a blog and a
sample
review
trip
about
like
it.
She went with a guy?
Yeah, like she went on a trip that they arranged for her to give her feedback, and hers was like super chill and they didn't get involved or whatever. But that's how I found out about it. I did attempt it for like two dates, but the dumb thing was, is like the first one, we get to this like spa or whatever, and the guy wants to go halfsies. And I was like, do you not understand the point of the website? Like, you should at least pay for our spa. And so when that happened, I was like, yeah, he's done. Like not happening.
Why is this any different than any other dating site?
Exactly. You would think it
right? Like it's just a way of finding a companion. And yeah. Or is it because this is very explicitly there's some sort of compensation involved. Even if it's not like they're giving you an envelope full of cash on the nightstand, it's closer to that. Like, hey, pay for some luxury experience for me or something.
Yeah, maybe it does help from the experience perspective. Like, you're not just going to get coffee dates or let's go ride parks or ride bikes through Central Park dates out of it. You're going to get experiential dates, but it still doesn't mean they're going to wine and dine you, at least in my experience. I was just shocked when it was like, oh, yeah, let's split this. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. I mean, and that's fine. I mean, if that's the situation, I don't care. Like, give me a heads up, especially before we're literally there paying. I would reconsider like their idea if I was still funding it. Like I would want some say in the idea if I'm helping fund it. And just like the website implies that like I'm a miss that gets to travel.
Is that good? You want that, right? That's what you're expecting then. Right.
In that situation I was, but yeah, I gave up pretty quick.
Huh. I mean... What are the women like that you find on here? Like, are they hot?
I have no idea. I'm not seen the other side.
What do we think the average
set up
user
a fake profile
of this?
For
are
me
we talking like
me.
Fives, sixes? It's not nines, right? Like
the way that people reacted to me made me assume there weren't many women on it in general.
That smells right. To me.
Let alone, yeah, attractive women.
I mean, I think it's like that for a lot of dating sites, period. Especially when you leave big cities, there's a huge imbalance between the number of men and the number of women on them.
Dating apps favor women from the start, I think.
Do they?
Oh, absolutely.
Even in big cities?
Yeah.
Why?
The right women, at least. Well, like Bumble, for example, the women have to lead the conversation. Unfortunately, that leads to having more and more beta men versus alpha men, which is another issue and topic. But I think there's so many issues of like the Me Too movement and women, you know, being in compromising situations and things like that, that these apps take any behavior from a man way more seriously than a woman. Like if they're rude and inappropriate, like if you report them
they get kicked off,
they're done real fast. Yeah,
I was apparently under the impression like, that on these apps guys are always trying to see how fast they can get the conversation to some form of sexting. Is that not accurate
on the crappy apps, on the Tinders,
like on Tinder
like
and stuff? That's
yeah.
What it is, it's like within
the better apps they're usually minutes. Looking for relationships, and usually that's why they get like worn out or burned out and
the guys the are.
Yeah, the quality decreases because they realize they have to put work in.
Right. You got to go on a lot of first dates. I had a very close friend who, it was kind of interesting to observe from a distance. He knew exactly what he wanted. He wanted a serious relationship. He wanted to get married. He knew exactly what he wanted. He had a very wide filter for the first date. He would go on a first date with just about anyone who didn't look like a complete Shrek. But then he had a very tight filter for the second date. And so he met a ton of women, went on a ton of first dates. He had to, like, it's such a time commitment that he would always go to the same restaurant a block from his apartment so that it was convenient.
That's hilarious.
And he would say, like, let's share an appetizer and then we'll get a couple of entrees. We're not meeting for drinks. Drinks is too open-ended. At least like a meal, there's like a certain rhythm to it and it'll keep it moving pretty fast. Because if you're going to go on 5 first dates a week, like, you really want them to be efficient, I guess. And so he did a ton of first dates, very tight filter for the second, even tighter for the third. And people thought he was just trying to sleep around, right? That he just wanted to go on all of these dates. But really, it was just he wanted to cast a wide net. And when he found Mrs. Wright, who he's now married to, they got married after, I mean, he asked her to marry him after like 6 dates. So, wow. Yeah, he was decisive when he found what he was looking for. It just took a long time to do it. So, all right. So you went to Hawaii to be a hooker for a photographer.
To be wined and dined by a potential suitor.
On mistravel.com. It didn't work out.
That is not
how
I met him, for the record.
It didn't work out. And so now you're back. And so our listeners should reach out to you to arrange dates and caretaking sessions in exchange for a new pair of Christian Louboutin shoes or something.
Or a spa day, either way.
A spa day. Wow. Okay. Mm. I mean, there's like one of those like Chinese, you know, the massage spas nearby.
A legit spa day.
Oh, a legit spa day. Okay, got it. We're talking like a real one, not like the where they do the body work kind of.
Yeah, no. Not the illegal kind.
I don't even think those are illegal. They're just, I mean.
Really? In New York, I think they are.
I'm not talking about happy endings.
Okay.
I talked a lot, or I think I wrote a piece about Deshaun Watson. Did you follow Deshaun Watson at all?
I don't even know who that is.
Deshaun Watson is a quarterback in the NFL, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, arguably. Okay. And he was a quarterback in Houston, and he was doing this thing where he would hire women to come to his house to give him a massage, and then he'd sort of like either ask for a happy ending or accidentally like the towel would move out of the way.
Oh gosh.
And it was like over 30 women and they were suing him, and he didn't do anything criminal. Apparently it was just kind of scummy, but it seems like most of the women said yes. It wasn't like he tried to force them. They were just like, well, he had all the power. And it's like, well, did he trap you? No, he seemed rich and powerful, so I wanted to make him happy or something, whatever. Anyways, a lot of them sued him. And he ended up getting suspended by the NFL. He was suspended at first for 6 games, which shocked everyone. People thought it was going to be for like a year or 2 years. He got suspended for 6 games, and then there was like an appeal, and then he ended up getting suspended for 11 games, which he is serving right now. But he signed, even while this was going on, he signed a contract for like $240 million or something. And it specifically said that like as long as like the team that is paying him did not have an out because of this conduct. So, but I'm not even talking about Deshaun Watson type stuff here. I was just talking about like the where you get like the Chinese guy who really goes to town and they're playing the Chinese violin in the play. You know that like twangy. I kind of love the sound of it.
I've never had one.
You've never had a Chinese violin, or you never had one of those kinds of massages? They're good. Good massages. Yeah, no, they work you out.
I've had acupuncture once, but
that's different. Acupuncture was good. I got that once, and I found that to be pleasant. So I was thinking the other day about people who write Yelp reviews.
Yes.
So if I say that, like people who write Yelp reviews, like what comes to your mind? Like describe to me. Imagine the person who writes Yelp reviews. Do you write Yelp reviews?
I've written one in my life.
What about?
A terrible experience. I was in the band performing at this venue, and the venue just was a terrible experience. So it deserved it. And it was a very simple review. It was just like, you know, this place sucks. You should pay your musicians better. but it needed to happen. And so it made me realize, yeah, what probably is in the mind of the people that go out of their way to do Yelp reviews.
Like, you mean it's always people who have something negative to say?
It's almost always negative, I think. And it's people that are like extremists and like just out of bounds expectations people, the Karens of the world.
What if you met the love of your life and then you found out that they write Yelp reviews about every place that they go?
It would be okay if it's because they monetized it. Like if they were like,
no, just for fun. It's like a hobby. It's like somebody who edits Wikipedia or something.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it strikes me, as I was thinking about this the other day, it strikes me that you really have to be demented to write Yelp reviews on the regular. Like that seems
I benefit from them. So that's
why?
The only...
Because people write Yelp reviews of your podcast?
No, because if I want to go somewhere in a new city that I don't know anything about...
On mistravel.com.
Yeah, exactly.
People look up, what are Rebecca's reviews?
No, I don't write reviews. But I'll look up like the top 3 or 4 restaurant reviews or whatever reviews. And it slightly weighs into my decision between like the 3 restaurants I want to go to. Granted, I don't read them in detail. I'm just like, okay, 5-star. They look kind of normal. You know, they were visiting from New York too. I'm like, okay, cool.
So you're judging. Do you discount Yelp reviews from depending on the race of the person who writes it?
Not race, but probably like
how poor they look.
Competency in how they write. Like if it's a poorly written Yelp review, everything's lowercase and
right, then you assume that they're stupid or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'm like, this isn't a high quality review. Like at least, you know, spell out you are, you know, like try.
As opposed
add some periods.
To writing like the letters U and R. I see.
Exactly. Oh, that stuff drives me crazy.
I see. I had an experience 2 weeks ago. I was at the airport and I'm on one of those moving walkways, and I was walking quite fast through the airport.
Okay.
And I start getting to the end of the moving walkway, and in front of me is a woman who's not walking, and in front of her was a man who wasn't walking, and they seemed to be together. They were standing close to each other, and I was annoyed, and I keep going, excuse me, and I'm like sighing really loudly, and then I mutter, for fuck's sake, and
nice.
They get off of the moving walkway, and I get off, and she goes, he's blind, and I look back, and it's one of the guy has like one of the sticks and the sunglasses and everything, which I sort of like turned and muttered over my shoulder, sorry, and then kept walking. Like I felt a little bad, but also... What's he doing on the moving walkway, right?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that why they have the people who push the chairs through the airport? What's the blind guy doing walking the length of JFK Terminal 4? That seems not a great idea to me. Anyways, aren't those dangerous? Like, what happens if you don't notice you're supposed to get off the moving walkway? That seems hazardous.
Very dangerous.
To me.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So I've had like some lingering guilt about doing
recent?
That. It was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh God.
And I felt a little bit.
She's in New York. She should have known as his guardian. Just,
I mean, the way I said it really was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
You sounded like a New Yorker, I'm sure.
I sounded very condescending, I think, the way I did it. And it was not super kind. But again, not sure it's really my fault. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is my fault. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to blind people, how are you supposed to know? Same with like Uber drivers.
Like from behind them?
I mean, even if you, and except for his little stick thing, because he doesn't have to have that stick thing. He could have had just her walking around. You wouldn't have known. But like Uber drivers, for example, are allowed to drive if they're deaf. And there's a big old sign when you get in the car that says, I'm deaf.
You're fucking
with me.
You
haven't seen this?
No.
And even in the app, it'll be like, please be aware that your Uber driver is deaf. So it's made very clear. And
what do they do if someone's honking at them, though?
They're allowed to drive if they're deaf.
Is that really legal? It totally is.
I've been in at least 5 Uber rides that before I got in the car, I was told to expect them to be deaf. And then when I got in the car, there was a massive sign that was deaf. And then they even looked at me and made sure I understood that before the ride progressed. It was a very interesting experience. And it actually, like, it made me like happy for humanity. We'd be like, this is cool. These guys have a job because they're still great drivers and they still communicate great via text. But, yeah,
some deaf people use electronic devices in their cars that alert them using a lighted panel to sounds coming from outside the vehicle. Others simply pay attention to visual cues, such as the flashing lights of an emergency vehicle or cues from other drivers on the road. I mean, I guess I never really thought about it much.
Uber lets them do it. Yeah. But again, it's made very clear so that you. Because if you didn't know, you could imagine how sideways that could get real quick on Uber camera of some person being like, you idiot, I've been waiting on this. Could you not? Like, you know,
and then
I mean?
They don't respond to you?
Yeah. I could see if Uber didn't make it very clear like they do, and if there wasn't a massive sign, I could see a lot of people getting frustrated and like being disrespectful or missing the situation because looking at somebody, you don't know they're deaf. But I appreciate how it's handled by Uber that it's made very clear.
You can kind of tell.
If somebody's deaf?
They maybe look a little deaf.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I think it's easier to tell somebody's blind than deaf.
Well, that you can tell because you just see the whites of their eyes and stuff, right?
Yeah. Or they don't make eye contact.
When you talk to somebody who has a lazy eye, where like one of them is pointed down here at the nose and the other one isn't. Which eye are you supposed to make contact?
I have no idea, with? Man. If you can tell me the answer, I would love it. That would be.
I
like
find that to be incredibly
quality podcast
confusing.
Content.
I don't know what to look at when there's one that's looking around and what can they see out of the eye that's pointed at the nose?
No idea, but nowadays we correct it earlier. Like that's why kids wear eye patches and stuff.
Oh yeah, look, my
that
son.
I think we'll have
my
less
son did that.
Problems.
He wore a patch for like 2 years. He didn't have a lazy eye. He had an astigmatism, and so he patched for like 2 years from like age 2 to 4 or something for like an hour every morning or 2 hours every morning, and it's basically gone. Yeah, so it worked, but he didn't have a lazy eye, but I don't know. I mean, that seems like it would be tricky. There was, I saw someone recently who had one and I was trying to have a brief conversation and then I was going fucking crazy. My eyes looking around trying to figure out which one. And then I just ended up doing this and like looking up at the sky and talking into the air. Cause I just couldn't figure out how to make eye contact.
Connect. So I want to go back to the serial killer comment you made, by the way. I've been ruminating on this since you said it. You said something about we don't really have serial killers anymore.
Right.
And what's your data point on that? Because I'm sure we do. We just don't know about them yet, right? Or you don't?
Not
you really,
really
don't think that happens anymore?
I think
anymore.
The people who would have become serial killers either don't because they have some other outlet for the sexualized violence or they become mass murderers.
So they just
they go and shoot up a school or a movie theater or something. But we don't, right? Like, think about the golden age of the, I don't know, the 60s, the 70s, even into the 80s, where you had all of these incredible serial killers, Ed Gein and Ted Bundy and Jeff Dahmer. And the list goes on. Like, there were great ones. And the Zodiac Killer, the Son of Sam.
I don't know any of these.
But none of them, you don't hear about that anymore, right? When was the last time like women weren't going out in New York City because there was a serial killer on the loose who was targeting blonde women or something? Like that's not a thing anymore. I'm sure it'll happen at some point in the future, but like you can't really get away with it for that long, I think.
Yeah, if it's like a sketchy, creepy murder situation, usually there's some connection. Or some love triangle or something, not random.
John Wayne Gacy, that was another good one. I mean, there was a lot of these guys. John Wayne Gacy tortured and killed 33 young men and boys.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, he was known as the killer clown because he worked as a clown. Like, he got dressed up as a clown for kids' parties. Also, what? You don't really have runaways anymore in the same way, right? That used to be a thing, like those weird sketches on milk cartons of kids that were like runaways. Are there runaways anymore? Is that a thing?
There was something I heard of recently, New York Post or something, where two girls made pacts to kill their dads and run away. You see that one?
That.
And it failed.
Right. It failed. Mm-hmm. But
I hadn't heard of that in a while.
You don't hear about runaways much anymore. That's not a big thing. I mean, serial killers preyed on runaways and hookers who were like walking the street and hitchhikers. Mm. You don't have that much anymore. I mean, I guess unless you call using an Uber a hitchhiker, but like, you don't really have those kinds of things anymore. So your pool of victims is maybe harder to access. You're more likely to get caught. The cell towers will ping you anywhere. So I just don't, I mean, can you think of a serial killer that I'm missing? Is there like a major serial killer around right now? Maybe in another country. But yeah. is there a, let's see. So who are the most?
I figured we're just not hearing about them. But yeah, you make a good point that the stuff we hear about is usually something that's built up to like the Vegas, you know, Route 66 shooting or whatever that was, which that is a new special coming out. I do want to see, even though I don't feel like they have answers. Like, nobody still knows why that guy shot up that
country
music
that
festival.
Nobody knows. So they're just, I mean, I'm looking at the most prolific serial killers on Wikipedia, and none of them were operating in the past 20 years or so. Let's see. This is slightly less prolific. And again, these are all 1970s. The 70s seems like that was the best time to be a serial killer.
What about Gucci? Did you see that one yet?
You mean about like the Gucci family?
Yeah.
I didn't know that story before.
Me
either. Did you know the story at all?
No. I just watched it because Lady Gaga was in it.
I didn't
and
know
it was
the
free
story.
On a Southwest flight.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I didn't know the story at all. I'm not a huge Adam Driver fan in general. I don't particularly love his acting, but I thought it was really good. It was well acted. It was a crazy story. I had no idea they were so fucked up. But the highlight for me was Jared Leto. Like, Jared Leto as the uncle was...
Oh, yes. Okay.
That was really incredible, I thought. I mean, he is really quite masterful. Is Lady Gaga a dude?
There have been speculations.
Like, something's a little off, right?
You would think that if she was, she would own that, though. Like, with the way Hollywood is nowadays, you'd think she'd be, like, loud and proud, not hiding it. You know what I mean?
Do we think she's a chick, but just a little funny looking?
I would assume, because I think if she was transgender, she would be extremely vocal.
It always struck me as there was something.
And she's had boyfriends, so I don't know.
Is that true?
Yeah, she had a boyfriend that told her she'd never be anything.
And, well, that's fun.
Yeah, look at her now.
I mean, I feel like that's the trick, is you don't want the woman getting too confident, right? Like, if you want them to be anorexically skinny, you have to make sure that they feel insecure and that they think they'll never amount to anything, right?
Oh, yeah, that logic has proven super successful over the years.
So I'm just looking at the list, like, of prolific serial killers. First of all, there's tons more for Netflix to make shows about.
Oh, I'm sure. They're covered for the next 20 years.
I mean, even with this like renaissance in serial killer stuff, there's tons more. By the way, they released that guy. I don't, do you remember the podcast Serial? It was like one of the first big podcasts. Did you ever listen to that?
I did not listen to it, but I'm aware. Yeah.
I thought it was terrible. I listened to the whole thing.
Really? Bad?
I thought it was very stupid. And I did not enjoy it, but it was, you know, about this guy in Baltimore who killed his ex-girlfriend and was in prison for it. And then this like journalist decided he didn't do it and made a whole thing about how he didn't do it. And most of the podcast revolved around one, there was like some lady who had a crush on him who said that he was in the school library with her at the time, which no one ever answered like, hey, there's some, like someone asked you, she never raised it at the time. He never said he was in the library, by the way, when he was on trial. It was only like 7 years later that she was like, he was in the library with me. And then it was like, wait, you just remember some random day 7 years ago and you know that he was in the library with you at like 3 p.m. on that day? Like, how, that doesn't seem credible at all. Yeah. His cell phone pinged like right near where the body was dumped. And then they were like, but it wasn't him. It was just that his, the cell phone pinging is unreliable. I mean, it was just, so stupid and it was so one-sided. But this guy's been in prison for 22 years and then he got out. Like a month ago or less, even like a couple weeks ago, like some lunatic city attorney in Baltimore just like vacated somehow his conviction. And and so this guy, Adnan Syed, who definitely killed his ex-girlfriend, which, I mean, that's a classic pattern too, right? Like, It makes a lot of sense. And he just got out. I'm really, you can't even get away with one murder before they catch you. How are you going to be a serial killer anymore?
What does his life look like though? Like
now?
Yeah. You've been in prison for 22 years. You come back. I think he's going to probably strike again personally.
Well, but he's got one of those beards. He looks like he's about to become a 9/11 hijacker. His name is Adnan Syed. And
but don't let him on any dating app.
Yeah, if you meet him on a dating app. Something tells me you're not matching with this guy, but I mean, look him up right now. His name is Adnan, A-D-N-A-N, Syed, S-Y-E-D. You know, He's like a minor celebrity now because they made this whole podcast about him.
Interesting.
But I don't know what his life will be like now.
I think if he doesn't result to like...
You think he's going to kill someone again?
I don't see... Unless he really cleaned up his life and all of a sudden he's going to go be some major hero, I don't see somebody not going back to who they were. Especially after you just spent 22 years getting, like, harder.
Yeah.
I think he could be, a worse threat, personally. But
I mean, you hear about that kind of shit all the time, about people who... Like, how about this? In the Dahmer show, the victim who got away, who managed to escape, even though Jeffrey Dahmer was holding him at knife point, the guy who, the last one who got away and managed to get the cops, he ran away naked and managed to get the cops. And that's how Dahmer got arrested and how he got caught. That guy, there was a piece in the Post just this week about how that guy has been on trial because he spent a bunch of time in prison because he's killed a couple of people. Like
himself?
Life didn't, him, he killed people himself. Like life has not gone well for him. It has been kind to him. It's not like, oh, I got away and then like turned over a new leaf. Like life has not been kind to this. Mm. To this poor guy. So yeah, I mean, it's maybe there's something to it. Do people not change? I guess you don't believe in redemption and
not
people
that
change.
Drastically.
Minor changes at the margin.
Yeah.
It's
and that's if he had been in, like, you know, Bali on some spiritual retreat for the last 22 years.
Right. Prison is prison seems harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't
know. But the good thing is his face is everywhere. He can't go far.
Do you do New Year's resolutions?
Kind of, but I don't tie like an event to most of my resolutions. They're just goals that are escalated at certain seasons. Like the new year or spring cleaning. Like there's certain times where like I'm extra motivated and my goals are more intense or there's more of them, but not really like tied to.
I was just thinking about like times when people typically say, I'm going to change up. And how, I mean, when you set yourself a goal, do you feel like you follow through on it most of the time? I'm not talking about like, I'm going to clean up my room today. I'm talking about like a real life goal of some kind.
For the most part, I always feel like I don't dream big enough. And so like, I feel like the goals that I achieve are because I wasn't making them big enough goals, but they still are good goals. And like, you know, not that I do it for other people, but other people are impressed or think that's like something worth achieving. But then I'm like, oh, it ended up being easier than I thought. I should have gone harder.
At the start of 2022, were you like, I'm going to go be a hooker in Hawaii this year? That's my goal for this year.
That was not my goal for the year.
That's my goal for the year.
That trip was epic, though.
That's on my plan. We need some of these pro
gentlemen.
Wait, did he use like an SLR for the race photos that you took, or was this like with an iPhone?
Oh yeah, SLR.
This was like the real deal with like with the lens where it's like you're, you know, Serena Williams or something, and you got.
Oh yeah.
And how did he do a race while carrying that piece of equipment?
Oh, he was just in and out of the like spectator zones.
Got it. So he wasn't doing the race alongside you.
Oh yeah. That guy could not handle a race. So this is where it started falling apart. Is he offered to go get me lunch in between two of my races. And lunch was just like, you know, a euro because it was what they call camp food out in the middle of, you know, Hawaii Island mountains. But anyway, he gets me the euro and, or start over. He goes to get me the euro and I said I wanted a chicken euro. This is a great story. And he goes to try and order it and they don't have chicken. They only have lamb or beef. And he doesn't want to get the wrong thing. So he comes back to ask me if I want lamb or beef. And I'm like, I just ran a race. I'm about to run another race. Like, I don't care. Lamb, like whatever.
Right, he goes, just get you food. Right.
I don't care. He comes back and complains about the fact that he had to go back in the heat to get a different type of meat and how hot it was. And then he spent, you know, 15 minutes standing in line. And I'm sitting there like, you realize I just ran a 10K and I'm eating this to then go run a 5K in the heat. Like, I was like, I can't believe you're going to whine to me about waiting 15 minutes to get me food that you offered to get me.
There is something appealing about like, oh, I don't care about what you're going through. Yeah. That's nothing compared to what I'm going through. I'm the one who just had to stand in line. I don't care about your problems, right? There's something very appealing about that kind of dynamic.
I was like, noted. Next time I'll go get my own euro since it's so jacked in for you. So you dumped him
and passed up on half these photographs because he complained to you about getting you lunch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
The best part was, we had a shared expenses spreadsheet and the euro he went to buy me, that he offered to buy me, was put on the expense sheet for him wanting me to pay him back.
Are you going to? Like, are you settling up expenses with him at this point?
I settled up some, but not the euro.
Wow.
Because it was so ridiculous. Oh, and then there was another line that was like, and you didn't even offer me a bite. I'm like, wait, what? I just ran a 10K and I'm going to run a 5K. You could have bought yourself a euro and you're upset I didn't offer you a bite when I really needed more food. It was just so ridiculous. So tone deaf.
So, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Well,
that's where it all went south.
It's too bad it didn't work out.
Yeah, no, bummer.
And you didn't have a photographer to
can't tell
to follow you around. But you're on the market. So our listeners No, they can look you up. They'll find you on OnlyFans. They can find you on, what was it called? Miss Travel. And they can look you up. I'm sure
there's a profile somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. I wonder if there's a profile, she says. Yeah, of course. So they can find you on all of those apps, and they can whisk you away. And they even know what the threshold is, right? It's yeah. it's a new pair of, a nice pair of shoes for a weekend. I'm glad.
Or a euro without complaining about
right,
it.
Right. Or exactly. Exactly. Lamb. She prefers lamb. Good to know. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Rebecca, thank you for joining. Mm-hmm. Other than the these apps, where can our listeners find more of you other than, you know, the hooker apps?
Yes, those hooker apps, as you call them, will all be different personas anyway, so good luck. But on social media, everything is Rebecca Panapinto, RebeccaPanapinto.com, at Rebecca Panapinto on Instagram.
Great.
LinkedIn, all the like.
Excellent. Well, thank you everyone for joining. Rebecca, thanks for being here with us, and we'll be back with more soon. Mm-hmm.